WMRA News. I'm Bob Levekin. An Augusta County deputy is charged with malicious wounding and assault after a pursuit of a suspect who is later hospitalized. And with Democrats in control of the legislature and a Republican still in the governor's office, Jeff Shapiro takes a look at what we might expect from Virginia's government next year. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, November 24th. An Augusta County Sheriff's deputy has been charged with malicious wounding, a felony, and misdemeanor assault and battery. The news leader reports that the case stems from the deputy's pursuit of a suspect who was later hospitalized. The pursuit in September started in Augusta County and ended in Albemarle County. Sergeant William Micholay of the Augusta County Sheriff's Office was charged Wednesday by the Albemarle County Commonwealth's Attorney's Office. The incident involved Adam R. Martin, a 38-year-old Gordonsville man, who was suspected of leading authorities on numerous chases in the weeks leading up to his arrest. Augusta County Sheriff Donald Smith said it is alleged by Albemarle County authorities that Micholay assaulted Martin during the arrest in Albemarle County. Well, and finally today, it is a relatively shortened post-Thanksgiving WMRA Daily. With Democrats in control of the legislature and a Republican in the governor's mansion, what can we expect to see from Virginia's government next year? Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope, take a look ahead to the 2024 General Assembly session.
Looking ahead to 2024, Jeff Shapiro, we're going to have a General Assembly session where Democrats control the General Assembly, but we still have a Republican in the executive mansion. And you say the Democrats can actually accomplish quite a number of things without the governor having much of a say at all. In fact, you describe his role in the constitutional amendments as magisterial and minor, correct?
There are things that this new Democratic, this new narrow Democratic majority can do, or the steps that it can begin taking to carve in the Constitution a protection for abortion rights, to eliminate the now illegal prohibition on same-sex marriage, and as well streamline and if you will, almost automate the process by which the civil and voting rights of felons having completed their sentences can be restored. Right now, that's essentially a governor's decision, and those rights are essentially lost for life unless a governor consents to their restoration. So these are three things that are richly symbolic and very important to the Democratic base in Virginia that the new majority can begin to put in place. Amending the Constitution is a two-year process. An amendment needs to go through the assembly intact with a House election in between and then survive another go before it's put on the ballot. The governor's minor but magisterial role in all of this is to sign the legislation authorizing a referendum.
So you point out the Democrats actually have the ability to do quite a number of things without the governor really playing much of a role at all. You mentioned several constitutional amendments. I know the General Assembly might also appoint new judges for the State Corporation Commission, which regulates everything from railroads to predatory lending. But it does kind of seem like the Republican governor is going to be using his veto pen quite a lot more in the future, right?
Well, this is one of the governor's options. Will he be using it with impunity if sent bills by the Democrats that he deems objectionable? Remember, the Democrats have the most slender majorities in the House and the Senate. The governor has a veto that, because of those slender majorities, the Democrats will not be able to override, to reverse the governor's veto, to enact a bill into law despite his objections requires a two-thirds vote in the House and a two-thirds vote in the Senate. So what we are anticipating on some issues is combat and conflict, but there are areas where the governor, the Republican governor, and the Democratic legislature may be able to come together.
Like what?
Well, maybe, for example, stronger spending or additional spending for public education, another area in which the governor and the legislature might be able to find common ground, something that's been discussed many times, but very little has been done, and that's bolstering public spending for the historically Black colleges and universities. But remember, this budget is going to be far more realistic than the budgets we've seen in recent years because we don't have all those extra billions of COVID dollars from the federal government to throw around. And it raises an interesting question. Had the legislature gone ahead with additional tax cuts this year, as the governor requested, he might be building a budget that included a deficit, a shortfall, if you will.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Gobble, gobble.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.